Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm absolutely delighted that you have chosen to spend the next 30 minutes with us studying the Word of God and exalting Christ. This is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We are delighted to be able to study the Word of God and make this study available for thousands of people across this country. If you've been following this program, you know that we have been looking at The Pursuit of Christ is the title of the series, and we've been looking at a number of principles that are all interrelated, interconnected, that help us, teach us how it is that we ought to pursue Christ successfully. We started 2 weeks ago by looking at the principle of obedience, and we said that there were three major points that we wanted to make regarding this particular principle. We've already discussed the first and second last week and the week before. We said that if we were going to successfully obey Christ, it was going to be necessary for us to build our faith in our life upon the rock, and the rock is indeed Christ and His Word. We said last week that the more we walk in obedience, the more we experience fellowship with Him. That was the second point. And that as we experience that fellowship, the promises that Christ makes to us if we're obedient become a reality. And those promises were that we would experience His love, we would experience the Father's love, and that we would also have both the Father and the Son make our hearts their home. And that God responds to those who are obedient to His Son. Well, this week we're going to look at the last principle, or the last point within the principle of obedience, and that is the result of obedience being fruit. We're going to spend a little bit of time looking at James' epistle, chapter 1. There are several sub-points we want to make, and with that we will close this principle, and next week we will start looking at the fifth principle. Well, let's look at James chapter 1 and verses 21 and 25. But before we do that, let's open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You. We pray that as we look at Your Word and study Your Word, that You would open the eyes of our hearts and understanding so that we may grow in our faith and learn what it is to really be Your disciples and pursue You with our whole hearts. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, James tells us in James 1, verses 21 and 25 this: "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Listen, don't miss what James is saying here. James is saying, listen, accept the planted word, not forgetting that if you do what you hear, you will be blessed in whatever it is that you do. And we will, as time progresses with this message, we will define what it means to be blessed in everything that you do, because there's a huge misconception, misinterpretation, and misapplication among many in the church today about what it means to be blessed. We will talk about that a little bit further on. If we want to be blessed in anything and everything that we do, we must be obedient. Blessing is something that is clearly linked to our faithfulness to the commandments and teachings of Christ. In other words, when we do the word, we will bear fruit. Now, going back to the term blessed, what James is saying is that we will experience success spiritually. One of the big problems that we have in the church today is that many have understood passages like this to mean that we will reap material possessions as a result of our walk with Christ. And many have gone as far as to say that if you don't enjoy material prosperity, there's something wrong with your relationship with Christ. And that is far from the truth. It is true that God blesses individuals in the church with material possessions, but He doesn't bless those individuals just so they can use it for their own purposes. He blesses individuals in the church with money and material possessions so that in turn God can use them and the gift He's given to support the work of the kingdom. But I'll tell you from my own personal experience, in most cases, people who experience God's blessing and who have been blessed by God have been blessed in a way that doesn't show by the material possessions that they have or do not have. So we want to make sure that we understand that God can bless somebody materially, but that the blessing James is talking about is not material blessing necessarily, but spiritual blessing. It's the fruit that we bear as a result of obedience. Now, spiritually speaking, as Christians, and this is written to Christians, so we're speaking to those who are in the church. Spiritually speaking, everything revolves around the issue of obedience. And that is why James advises us that we need to know how to nourish the planted seed, the Word, in order to reap the bounty of benefits. Now, what we're going to do as subpoints is looking at how it is that we nourish the planted seed so that that nourishment results in fruit and blessing for the believer. And listen, we need to understand that the purpose of God in the life of a Christian is to bring him into such a dynamic relationship with himself that all the believer experiences is God's blessing. It could even be through trials and tribulations, just knowing that God is there and that God is intending for everything that occurs in our life to be good, brings us assurance, joy, and blessing. It doesn't matter where you are or what it is that you're experiencing in life. Through all of that, you can still experience the blessing of God, and that's the point. But we have to work at making sure that we're doing what we ought to be doing so the Spirit of God can enable us to bear that fruit. Remember, it's not your fruit, because in and of yourself, you can do nothing. In fact, Jesus told us that in John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It is what God does in us. It is the fruit that He produces in our lives as we yield and submit to His leadership and to His Word. Now, the first thing that we're told by James that we ought to do if we're going to nourish that planted Word is to cultivate the seed. Okay? Now, remember this. We already have the Word of God planted in us. It is our responsibility to cultivate it so it can grow. Listen, one of the big reasons why we have such a problem within the church, a problem of illiteracy, is because people don't cultivate that which has been planted in their hearts, therefore hindering it from growing. And when it comes to the time when they're called to discern and differentiate between what is scriptural and true and what is not, they can't do it. How will you know what is false if you don't know what is true? And the only way you're going to know what is true and the only way you're going to know what it is that Christ wants you to do is by cultivating that seed so that the Word may grow in you. James 1 gives us the formula for cultivating that Word. Listen to what he says in verses 19 and 21. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Listen to what he says. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Now, if you look at the context in which this passage is found, you will obviously find that this is written to those who are in the church, to those who have experienced the new birth. And James is talking about the believer's relationship to the Word. That's the context in which that passage, those two verses we just read, are found. Now, let's break it down. He says that we should be quick to listen. Listen, this means that there should be a priority and passion that we must give to the Word of God. We are to spend more time actually listening to what God says than just simply hearing. Many times we don't experience the blessing of God because all we have actually done is heard what he said, but we've never actually listened to what it is that he has said. And when James says that we ought to be quick to listen, he says that we should have as a priority in our lives listening to what it is God is attempting to say. Do you know that every single time you open the scriptures as a Christian, every single time you go into the scriptures to study, every single time God is speaking to you, and he's attempting to tell you something. There's absolutely nothing in scripture that we can't possibly apply to our lives. It's there because God intended it to be there so that in some way, shape, or form, he could use it to make a difference in our lives. And every time we come to the Word, God speaks to us. The issue is that we are often not quick to listen, and therefore all we do is kind of hear something but never actually take anything in because we haven't taken the time to listen. Listen, and when God speaks, we ought to heed to that and listen to what it is that he's saying because he is God and he knows best. And then James says that we ought to be slow to speak. You know what he's saying? Listen to this. And we do this all the time. We just don't recognize it as this. You know what he's saying? In other words, we are not to argue with God's Word. Well, wait a minute. Is that what he's saying when he says slow to speak? Yes. We are not to interrupt God with our ideas or judgments or conclusions before he has been able to finish saying what it is he was going to say. And that's part of quick to listen. Sometimes as we read the Word of God and he starts speaking to us, we interrupt what he's saying by interjecting our own ideas and our own judgments and our own conclusions, never giving him the opportunity to finish what he's attempting to say. James says, listen, quit doing that. And remember that the goal here is to allow the Word of God to grow in you. Now, God does want to hear back from us. He does want to listen to what we have to say. But he wants us first to let him speak, and then he wants to listen to us. We are not to interrupt or argue with God's Word. And then he says that we should be slow to anger. What does that mean? Well, listen, first he says that we ought to give taking in the Word of God a priority. Then he says that we shouldn't argue with God and with his Word. And now when he talks about being slow to anger, he's saying that we ought to never be angry with God's Word. Now, wait a minute. I'm never angry with God's Word. Really? Listen, when we don't like what he's telling us in his Word, we are being angry against his Word. Let me give you an example. And I would just touch on a couple of controversial issues that will help bring the point home. Homosexuality. the Bible has much to say about homosexuality. And the Bible teaches that it is a sin, and that anybody who is involved in it and wants to be a follower of Christ needs to repent and forsake that lifestyle. But you know what? Many churches today who claim to be Christian churches don't preach that. In fact, they've even advocated positions that are inconsistent with the Word of God. Another one, for example, a Christian marrying a non-believer. The Bible says we are not to be unequally yoked. But you know what the reasoning is behind the Christian when they do that? He will change, or she will change. How do you know that? The Bible says do not be unequally yoked. And listen, when we disobey the Word of God in areas where we don't want to agree with the Word of God, we become angry with the Word of God. And our disobedience, consistent disobedience to those principles, demonstrate the accuracy of the fact that, as James says, we become angry with God's Word. As we listen and as we speak less, we will have fewer and fewer temper tantrums. And I want you to think about this. You can whine. You can have all the temper tantrums you want. You can pout. You can argue. You can disagree. You can cry. But one thing is certain, God is never going to change His Word to appease you or me. Remember that. God's Word is God's Word, and we are the ones who are to conform to the Word of God. Conform to the Word of God. He will not change that which He has already said to be true just so that you and I can feel better about a particular area in which we feel uncomfortable with what the Bible teaches. God loves everybody, and God calls the church to love everybody. But there are certain things that are inconsistent with the Word of God, and we don't have the option to take the side other than God's side, because God defines those things for us. So we are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You know why? Because in verse 20, James says this, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Why? Because anger stunts our growth. And anger stunts the growth of God's Word within our hearts. The second thing he says, the second sub-principle I want to look at, is the fact that we ought to be doers of the Word. Listen to what he says in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Remember, when we talked about the two foundations upon which we can build the edifice of our lives and faith, what James is saying in relationship to that principle is this: if you are one of those people who is a hearer and not a doer, then you're one of those people who is building on sand and you are deceiving yourself. You're really not growing. You're really not developing your faith. When the storm comes, your life and your faith will collapse because you have deceived yourself by being a hearer of the Word and not a doer. I mean, I don't know how much more straightforward God can put it to us. It's simply stated. Listen, if you want to pursue Christ, you have to be one who is willing to listen to God's Word, hear what He has to say, and then act upon what you have heard. If you don't, you deceive yourself into thinking you have a deep relationship, a dynamic relationship with Christ, when you really don't. There's no gray area here. There's no room for misinterpretation or misunderstanding. Listen to what he says. Do what it says. James talks about the fact that the Word of God can be used as a mirror in our lives. And he says in James 1:23-24, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Listen, God uses His Word to reflect back to us. And He uses His Word to expose to us those areas in which we're deficient and weak. But those of us who are hearers tend to go up to the mirror, see what it reflects back, but as soon as we walk away, nothing is done with what we've seen. In fact, we forget what we saw because we're not doers. If I am going to successfully obey Christ, I must be a person who consistently and continually does what the Word says rather than just hear what the Word says. Listen, let me put it this way. If you're not a doer of the Word and you're a hearer only, you've created your own brand of Christianity, which is not biblical. And your religiosity has been, is, and will be a monumental waste of time. Because you've accomplished absolutely nothing. A true disciple obeys Christ, and a true disciple is one who does what He says, not just hears and doesn't do anything with what he's heard. Listen, it is important that we look at God's Word, allow God's Word to show us what it is we need to learn about ourselves so that we may continue to grow and pursue Christ as He desires us to do. Well, we end this particular principle today. Next week, we will start looking at a whole new principle, how true Christians, believers, share Christ. God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have once again come to the end of this particular program. We certainly pray that you have enjoyed this series we are currently on entitled The Pursuit of Christ. We are pretty much making our way through midway through this particular series. We have had a wonderful response by our listeners. God has been using this series, these programs, this ministry to minister to many of you. We want to encourage those of you who have never contacted this ministry to do so as soon as possible. I will be providing you with our contact information in just a few minutes, so if you need an opportunity right now to get a pen and paper, this is the time to do it. If you have never come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't know with all certainty that if you died right now, you would go into the presence of Christ and live with Him eternally, this is your opportunity to do so. And all you have to do is, in the sincerity of your heart and with genuineness, just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, trust Him as Lord and Savior, and repent of your sins. And on the authority of the Word of God, I can assure you that if you have sincerely prayed from your heart to ask Jesus to forgive you, if you have repented, and if you have trusted Him and Him alone for your salvation, you have now become a child of the living God. If you have made that decision for Jesus today, we want you to contact us so that we can send you some material to help you get started in your Christian life. If you are a believer but you have been in a backslidden condition, and this is the moment in which the Spirit has told you you must come back home and recommit your life to Jesus, then we want to hear from you as well. Certainly this series we are currently on is a wonderful series that will help you get yourself back on track by allowing you to realize the importance of a quiet time of Bible study and of a daily committed submission and yielding to the Holy Spirit as He conforms you more and more to the image of Christ. We want to ask you to invite your friends and family to tune in to listen to this program as well. We are very thankful for your participation. We are very thankful for your letters, your calls, and your emails. And please keep those coming. It certainly encourages us as we continue to do this work for the Lord. We also want to remind you that you can receive copies of these programs which you listen to on the radio. There are several requests we have of you. If you're going to order copies, we need you to let us know the date on which you heard the program, the call letters of the station on which you heard the program, so that we are certain to send you the copy of the message that you are requesting. As I mentioned previously, and I'll be providing you with further details later on, this entire series will be made available at some point in the near future, so you will be able to get the entire series on one handsome case for yourself or for friends and family, just as we have made available our entire series on Bible prophecy. We also want to remind you that we ask for a suggested donation of $5 for any radio programs that you are asking for to help cover the cost of production and the shipping and handling. And again, details will be provided for you as we near the completion of this series and as this series becomes available in its entirety. We also want to remind you that this is a listener-supported ministry. We are on the air because of your prayers for us and because of your partnership through financial contributions. We need your assistance if we are going to continue to air these programs on these radio stations and if we're going to be able to add radio stations to our list of stations on which we currently play so that more and more people may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and so that we may be able to continue to defend and propagate the truth of the Word of God. So your financial contributions are greatly appreciated and certainly they are tax deductible since we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Well, let me provide you with our contact information right now. There's three ways to contact us. You can send us correspondence, and please remember that any materials that you request from this ministry need to be done in writing. So our mailing address is Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, 0279. Our phone number is 704-778-3759, and our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. And I do want to refer you to our website because if you didn't get our contact information right now, you can get all that information on our website, plus more information about who we are as a ministry. Our website address is www.rffiministries.org. God bless you, and we will see you once again next week.